Romans chapter 12. The text this evening is going to be from verses 1 and 2. And we will read the whole chapter this evening. Hear now the word of our eternal God. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sober, to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes with generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the Lord, to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thus ends the reading of God's word this evening. May he bless it to our understanding. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, This portion of Scripture here, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is a call to give yourself totally, completely, with all of your heart, mind, soul, strength, all of your being, you are to give yourself to the Lord in His service. You think for a moment of Heidelberg Catechism number 1. And as the Catechism says, that the comfort that I have in this life is that I am not my own. I have been bought. Both body and soul, I belong to another. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You are a slave of Jesus Christ. The image, the picture that's given to us of the redeemed is one who once was a slave, but has been purchased and now belongs to another. Think for a moment of Joseph. What happened with Joseph when he was sold to the Ishmaelite slave traders by his brothers? And they took him into Egypt, and he was sold again in Egypt. He was on the blocks. He was for sale. And Potiphar came in, and Potiphar bought him. Joseph became the possession of Potiphar, and Joseph now lived in Potiphar's house and was called to live his life consistent with the rules of Potiphar's house. That is us. We were on the slave block of sin. We belong to Satan. Do you know that Scripture teaches that every unbeliever is held captive by Satan to do his will? 2 Timothy chapter 2. But it's the mercy and the grace of God that rescues us and brings us to Himself. We become His possession, and true liberty, true freedom, is found in Jesus Christ, being a slave of Christ. But the idea and the point is this: when you belong to another, you live according to the rules of that other one, the master. Some of you in here maybe own your own business. Maybe some of you are in the farm and own your own farm. How long would a hired man work for you if he didn't do what you told him to do? You hired him for a purpose. It wasn't to do the thinking. It was to carry out your orders. What we are to do is our minds are to be transformed by the Word of God, that we might think His thoughts after Him, that we might know how to live. There's a lot of young people here this evening. You don't know how to live your life unless you know the Word of God. Maybe you missed that. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know how to live. And I don't care if you're a student at Dort College and you say you're a Christian. If you don't know this book, you don't know how to live your life. You'll just go along with the flow of the world and you'll think the way that the world thinks. You'll speak the way that the world speaks. And you will act the way that the world acts. Because it's only by being in this Word that you can be renewed in your mind to think God's thoughts after Him and know how you are to live your life. You know, the Word of God deals with every area and every aspect of our life. Do we understand that? Do we believe that? When it comes down to you children and how you are to respond to your parents, the Scripture teaches us how you're to live your life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The fifth commandment: honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You children are to obey your mother and your father. In your eyes, they are equal for your obedience. There's no hierarchy for you with your parents. If mom says it, it's as good as if dad says it. Now, within the relationship of marriage, the husband and the wife, there is a distinction. The husband obviously is the head, because again, that's what the Word of God teaches us. Did you notice the exhortations throughout that chapter 12 of Romans? What is the natural reaction? And I say reaction, it's not a response, because reactions are that which are not thought out. You just lash out. You have a friend at school and they say something wicked about you. What do? You say something wicked in return. And they gossip about you and you gossip about them, and it goes on and on and on. Is that what you see in our scripture reading? If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. You are to be kindly affectionate to all. You are to be hospitable to all. Never rendering evil for evil, but good for evil. It doesn't matter what they do to you. What matters is how you are to respond according to the teaching of God's Word. This is what Paul says here in our text. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. This is not a command here. This is not in the imperative in the Greek text. This is actually in looking at the mercy of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Now, it's not just in chapter 11. Let's go back to chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Let's kind of take a panoramic view. Let's scope out all of the chapters right up to chapter 12 and think about the mercy that God has had upon us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you understand what Romans chapter 1 teaches about man as he comes into this world? He is fallen. He is dead in his trespasses and sins. He is a hater of God. He is on the broad road that leads to destruction. He is not subject to the law of God. He hates God with all of his fiber. Part of hating God is a denial that God exists, which he knows to be true, but that's a hatred towards God, is to say he doesn't exist. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, knowing the God. That's literally what it says in the Greek. Nantes tan theon. Knowing the God. They know God in their heart. They're created as his image. And being image bearers of God, the law of God is within their heart. They hate it. You ever find it strange that the guy who opposes capital punishment, vociferously he is against capital punishment. And you let that man have his daughter raped and pillaged by some young men, and then you see his attitude change. What does he cry out for then? He cries out for justice. What is he demonstrating when he's crying out for justice? The law of God written in his heart. It's inescapable. But the point that Paul teaches us there is that the whole world is under the condemnation of God. That's how we enter this world. When Adam fell, we fell in him. So now we come into this world with the imputed guilt of Adam, and we demonstrate it in how we live our lives. You parents, you don't have to teach your children to lie, do you? To teach your children, speak the truth. Is it a mystery to us in Scripture? We're constantly admonished by the teaching of God's Word to speak the truth in love. He's not talking to pagans there, he's talking to the church. Stop lying and begin speaking the truth. That's what he says in Ephesians 4. You who stole, stop stealing. Labor with your own hands. Speak the truth in love. Do the right thing. That's living a righteous life that God calls us to as the redeemed of Jesus Christ. We naturally come with the bent to lie and to steal and to cheat and to be the king, to want to sit on the throne and let everybody serve us. Paul goes on in Ephesians or in Romans chapter 2 and 3, and the whole scope there. The Gentiles are under the condemnation of God. They worship not the Creator, but they worship the creature. And he says in chapter 2 that the Jews were no better. You who call yourself teachers of the law, you are breakers of the law, and the name of God is blasphemed because of the way that you behave, the way that you live your life. And then he comes in chapter 3 and he says, all the world is condemned. You're all under the condemnation of God. We're all under His wrath. We're all under His curse. We're all worthy and deserving of condemnation. Do you ever think of yourself that way? That in and of yourself, you are worthy, you are deserving, you have merited damnation. What is the wages of sin? Death. Not only temporal, but eternal. The Catechism says that God punishes men in this life and in that which is to come. When you come to chapter 4, you begin to see the mercy of God. It wasn't according to what Abraham did. It wasn't according to what David did. It was according to God who shows mercy. And you see that. You see it so vividly, so clearly, that the Lord comes to Abraham. And if the Lord does not come to you, you don't come to Him. When you seek the Lord, you know that you are one who has been sought by Him, and that's why you seek Him. You see, the seeking of the Lord is the business of the believer, not the unbeliever. There's no man who seeks the Lord in and of his natural state, dead in trespasses and sins. He is fleeing from God. He is like Adam in the garden. He doesn't want anything to do with God. He wants to cover himself with fig leaves and say, hey, here I am. Look at how good I am. Lord, demonstrate that that's not sufficient. And He provides atonement. He clothes Adam with the animal skins. The Lord rescues. And then you see Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Just running through the Romans chapters, you understand that the man, apart from the Spirit of God, is at enmity with God. He's at war with God. He fights against Him. And it was God's kindness and mercy that saved us. You remember Psalm 103? Remember what I said about the Hebrew term there, hesed? It's God's steadfast compassion toward us, towards those who were given unto His Son to redeem. He has set His everlasting love on us. He doesn't give up on His people. He never abandons His people. Do you ever think you're abandoned by God? Let me assure you of something here this evening. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have never once in your life, since you have been redeemed, you have never been abandoned by God, and you never will be abandoned by God. You understand the cry of Jesus on the cross? My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Christ was forsaken that the people of God would never be forsaken. He was cast out that we might be brought in. We are adopted as children of God. We have become co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We now cry out, Abba, Father. Why? Because of the mercy of God. Not of our doing, His mercy. It's amazing. It's so amazing, John says in 1 John 3, Behold, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of the living God. Are you amazed by your salvation? I'm amazed that God saved my wretched soul. Let alone being in the ministry, but just saving my wretched soul. If my life was flashed on a screen here, you would say, ain't no way the Lord is going to have anything to do with that guy. That is the mercy of God. And so Paul appeals to that mercy. He causes the believer and he says, look at what God has done for you. Is it too much that you serve Him? Is it too much what God has done for you and His Son, that you give your life over to Him in service of Him? It's only right. It's only appropriate. That's the only right and appropriate response, is to give our lives as a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him. A living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. A sacrifice was dedicated for the temple, for the altar. That is us. We are dedicated. It was dedicated for a certain service unto the Lord. And as believers redeemed by Christ, we are dedicated unto that same service. How are you doing with that, beloved? How are you doing in your life as a believer, as a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him? How are you doing in your thought life as being a living sacrifice of thankfulness to Him? How are you doing with your words? How are you doing with your hands and your feet and with your eyes and with your ears? How are you doing as one here this evening, and you're here this evening confessing that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? How are you doing as a living sacrifice unto Him? Well, I see some heads hanging. We got some work to do, don't we, as believers, as those who are redeemed by the mercy of God? We need to get busy. And you know, Paul, he tells us here that we are to be holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. I like that translation. That's very accurate with the Greek text. The spiritual latria, it's the bowing down and worshiping Him. But Paul tells us how you can become that living sacrifice in your life as a believer. How more and more in your life you can be that living sacrifice. Notice what he says. Do not be conformed to this world. Are you being squeezed into the mold of this world? You know, to be conformed to the ways of this world is to think the way that the world thinks. You know, the world doesn't have any problem with homosexuality. You know, it's been a long time coming. I saw a commercial on that retro television program, or that channel. And I think the commercial was somewhere back in the late 60s. It was there. I couldn't believe it. I told my wife. It's inoculating consistently. That's what the devil does. That's how he gets it to where it's a joke. And then you got the TV programs where you just kind of laugh at that stuff. Why are we laughing at sin? Why is that funny to us? We're not to behave and think as the way that the world thinks. That's an abomination to the Lord. That's what God has said. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this world. Ever make candles? If you make a candle, maybe you have a candle maker and you have some kind of a mold and a shape that you want to make your candles in. And so you melt some wax and then you pour that wax into that mold. And you let it sit for a time. And then what do? You break out that mold. And lo and behold, the candle, that wax, is shaped exactly the way that the mold is. Don't be poured into the world's mold, because when that casing is cracked open, you'll look just like it. And the only way that the Apostle Paul tells us that you not be conformed to this world is by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the word renews, transforms. It causes you to think right. It causes you to think right in every area and in every aspect of your life. Your children will know how to relate to your parents. You'll know how to relate on your job. You'll know how to relate to the unbeliever. You'll know how to relate to the believer. You'll know how to relate to your pastor and to your elders and to your teachers and your professors. You will know how to relate to every area and every aspect of life through this word. And so often, those who confess to be followers of Christ are the ones that give the black eye, because we don't know what's contained in the Word. We're not being transformed. And the transform there, the Greek term, metamorphosis. What do you get out of metamorphosis? You learned that when you were a kid, didn't you? Science class. What's a metamorphosis? That ugly little caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. The renewing of our mind. That's the metamorphosis that takes place. The transformation of the mind. The thinking. We are to view, very simply, everything in life through the lens of God's Word. You ought to be asking yourself, every moment of every day, what would the Lord have me to do? How should I respond? What does God say about that? And then go to the Word and search the Word. The Lord said, or David says, "The Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. It gives me direction. You college students in here, you want to be smarter than all of your teachers and your professors? Know the Word of God. David said, "I am smarter, I am wiser than all my teachers because I keep your commandments, because I know your Word." I don't care about the guys that have the big string of letters behind their names. When Peter was called to go out into this world and to sanctify himself and to be always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks, he was a fisherman. And it doesn't say to the exclusion of the PhDs, the doctors, and everybody else. You know the Word, you know the truth, you are ready for combat. You are ready as one who has been drafted into the army of Jesus Christ. Now use the weapons of warfare that the Apostle Paul so ably, so aptly distinguishes for us in Ephesians chapter 6. Put it on by being in the Word. And when you do, when your mind is renewed, your thinking is renewed, your speech is renewed, and the way that you live your life
will be transformed. But it starts with the inside first. First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside then will follow. It will become clean also. It's only then that you will know what is the will of God. The good, the perfect, and the acceptable will of God. You know what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says about your body? Your body is not for sexual immorality, but is for the Lord. It's for sanctification. That is a living sacrifice of thankfulness unto Him. And you'll know that God's will is good. You'll know it's perfect. You'll know it's acceptable by being in this Word as it transforms your life. Remember the mercies of God. How do you know when you remember? You'll be like David. You'll be singing to yourself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Beloved, have you forgotten the benefits that God has granted to you and His Son? Are you acting like the world? Parents, are your children behaving like the world? Get them into the Word. Let the Spirit of God do His work as your children are immersed in the Word of God. You will transform their lives by teaching them to reverence the Word, to love the Word, to adore the Word, to search the Word. They will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will be glorified as they are a living sacrifice of thankfulness unto Him. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank You for Your great goodness towards us. We thank You for the mercy that You have granted us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to bless us, strengthen us, fill our minds with Your truth. Cause us, Lord, to be faithful to Your truth, to grow in the knowledge of it, that we might live it unto Your honor and Your glory. For You have called us to be those living sacrifices of thankfulness unto You. Transform our minds, Lord. We know that it's a continual activity in the life of the believer. Give us the desire for that Word. Strengthen our hearts. Help us not to forget Your benefits. Help us to remember continually all the days of our life the mercy that You have granted to us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might give You all the honor and glory and praise for the namesake of Jesus Christ, the One who has bought us, redeemed us out of all of our sin and misery. We thank You for all of this in His precious name. Amen.